We Christians are by nature countercultural. I mean, we go against the culture. We are nonconformists, and that's because we see the world through a different lens. We see Brazoria County through a different lens than the rest of the folks around us, and that lens is shaped by what we call a biblical worldview. We have the Bible, God's written word to us. It's God's love letter to us, and it's God's instruction for us. It tells us what human nature is like and helps us to learn the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, truth and lies. It helps us. It helps us take light to a dark world, helps us bring freedom to people enslaved in sin, and they don't even realize how trapped they are. But through what we learn from the Bible, we're able to share that with others and help other people out. But listen, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and his words, we risk just slipping back into the cultural norms that surround us, and we don't look any different than anyone else. And what happens when we get out of step with Jesus, we step into the shadows. And we're no longer any help to people around us. We don't have anything to offer them when we aren't living that countercultural, nonconformist way, the way of Jesus. That's why we need a reset from time to time. And we've been talking about, as we kind of come out of this dark cloud of the last year, we need to reset to the ways of Jesus. And the way of Jesus, as we talked about for the last 3 weeks, is the one another way. That's the way of Jesus. And the one another way comes from what Jesus described. It's the last commandment he gave us. He said, love one another. And he was talking about Christians, Christ followers, brothers and sisters in Christ, love each other. He said, love one another as I have loved you. That was his last command. It was so important to him that we get that we love each other. Fortunately, a lot of men we call apostles gave us several different ways to understand this one another way of Jesus, this one another way of love. And there's several one another's in the Bible that we've been concentrating on. We picked out a few that we really thought would help us with a reset. Forgive one another. That's one way. Forgive one another. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. And so we can forgive others. Honor one another. Because Jesus honored us above himself when he took our place and died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He honored us. So we would honor others. Bear with one another. Jesus is patient with us. We should be patient with others. And then today, to kind of wrap it up, what I want to point out is a final one another that we'll look at, and that is serve one another. Serve one another. If you have your Bible, open it to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. This is how we reinvest in our relationships when we need a reset. And so we serve one another. Now, this book in the New Testament of the Bible, it was written by a man we know of as the Apostle Paul. He was one of the early church leaders. And then Paul wrote this. He wrote a lot of letters in the Bible, and usually they were to people or to specific churches. But in this case, this New Testament book of the Bible, Galatians, is written not to a church, but to a group of churches in a region in the Roman Empire known back then as Galatia. Today, it is the center of the modern-day country of Turkey. So it's kind of in between Asia and Europe where it was. Now, this church, the churches in Galatia, were a diverse group of people. There were different cultures all coming together. And that's the way all these New Testament churches we look at, they were mixed ethnicities. They were mixed nationalities. And that's why we know that we can be that way too. But it's hard work. And what was happening in the churches in Galatia is that the Jewish Galatians, these are the ones that, you know, that were originally God's people, the Jewish Galatians were starting to have conflict with the Greeks, or the Jews called everybody who wasn't a Jew, they called them Greeks or Gentiles. And the Jewish Galatians were struggling, they were sliding back into a form of legalism. They're going back kind of to Old Testament laws and trying to act just like, trying to say everyone that needs to be a Christian also needs to be a good Jew. And that's not the truth. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what he brought about when he brought all races and religions, not religions, when he brought all races and ethnicities together. So these Jewish Gentiles were beginning to slide back into legalism, which is kind of a self-centered approach to where I'm just going to be so good. And you stop thinking about others, and it was causing division in the church. I want you to, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, listen to the warning that Paul gave these Christians, because throughout history, when we get frightened or mad at the culture around us, rather than just doubling down on love, we'll double down on rules and start talking about rules, and we'll start fighting the culture. And guess what happened? Guess what comes next? We fight each other because everybody else isn't fighting the culture the way we are. And I see this happening. It's happened throughout history, and it's been happening here in America over the last year. Listen to the warning the Apostle Paul gives. Galatians chapter 5 begins verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You want to circle those words, serve one another. That's where we're camping out today. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Do you see the choice Paul gives? If we don't serve one another, eventually we'll destroy each other. Let's dig into these verses and get a clearer picture of why we need this reset from time to time back to the way of Jesus, the way of love, the one another way. Look back at verse 13 again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. That phrase, use your freedom, that was actually a military term for abuse of position. The people immediately knew that'd be like a Roman centurion, a Roman guard abusing his position to take advantage of others or using his position to have what other people couldn't have. And he says, you guys, you are called to be free, free spiritually, free from sin, and even free from all the rules of the Old Testament. You're called to be freedom, but don't take advantage of your position of freedom to indulge in the flesh. And that indulge in the flesh, if you read on down in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21, give this long list of all kinds of fleshly desires. You can just imagine what they are. I won't go there. I just want to let you know that some of the Christians in Galatia, they were abusing the freedom they had been given, the freedom from sin, the freedom from living a set of rules and legalism. They were abusing that freedom, though, to go back and start doing the same sins that they had been rescued from. They're following rules and they're keeping the rules, but there's so many other things that they're doing in private and some in public. They don't even realize they're abusing their freedom. They're abusing their position of freedom. And that led them to actually start destroying one another and turning in on each other. See, bad things happen when we turn inward and we focus on ourselves and our pleasures instead of focusing on others. Look at the last line of verse 13. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Use your freedom rather to serve one another humbly in love. If you focus on selfish desires, you won't help others. You know, serve one another humbly in love, and then you won't worry about yourself so much. You'll begin to care about others. I have a good friend who's not a Christ follower. His name is Dean. We grew up together, and we still try to stay in touch. And Dean's not a Christian, he's an atheist, but from time to time we have the most interesting discussions about Christianity. He gets a lot of things more than I think a lot of Christians do, but then some things he just can't get, he just can't understand. And one time he was asking some things about our church, and I was talking about how we serve and our motto of everybody serves, and he just kind of looked at me like, dude, that just sounds crazy. I said, what do you mean? He goes, why would I want to serve others? I can't even serve myself well enough. And I thought, you know, I think you're saying what a lot of people probably think at times. I think that's a really good question, though. Why would I serve others? You know, we talk about serving and how to serve, and we give lots of opportunities to serve, but I think it's a good question that not just atheists wonder about. I think a lot of you in here would ask that question, why should we serve others? That's a good question. And I had a conversation a week and a half ago with a guy I met on a plane that really helped shape this question of why should we serve others. I was getting on the plane and I noticed this guy that was sitting in the seat next to me. Man, he was just dressed like a rock and roll artist. You know, he just looked like a musician. And he mentioned something about it. He goes, hey, you can put your bag on top of my guitar case. It's fine. I said, so are you a musician? You play in a band? He goes, yeah, I play guitar for Herman's Hermits. And I thought, whoa, now that means nothing to a lot of you, most of you probably. If you're a millennial, just imagine 40 years from now being on the plane with a guitar player from Maroon 5. You know how excited I was. The first thing I thought of when he said he played guitar for Herman's Hermits, he's not an original band member, but the drummer was. He was sitting next to me across the aisle. But his name is Vance. And the first thing I thought of was that song, Henry VIII. I am an original, and they're a British band too, okay? The song goes, I am Henry VIII, I am Henry VIII, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married. Yeah. She's been married 7 times before. Anyway, it just goes on. It's so funny. The song became really popular, but it just had that one verse. They kept singing that one verse over and over again. And anyway, now, I didn't ask Vance to sing for me. And more importantly, I didn't sing for him like I just sang for you. But we had this great conversation. We talked the whole way home. And it turns out Vance is a believer in Jesus Christ. And during the pandemic, when musicians couldn't get out and play, he would go to, and he still does. He goes to nursing homes and sings for people. How cool is that? They're going, that guy sounds like Hermits and Hermits. You know, it's like, yeah, he ought to. So, but he said, you know, he goes, I love doing it, and I can't stop doing it. He goes, but you would think God would reward me more for that. You would think that things would go better for me. He goes, I know people that aren't doing anything. They don't care about anybody else, and everything goes well for them. He goes, man, I'm struggling. If you're a musician, you've struggled over the last year, and a lot of other people have. And our discussion for the next hour, just talking back and forth about it, we talked about Job in the Bible and people who suffered, and it seemed like for no good reason. And we had just a great discussion, and it really shaped a lot of the thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. I think it's an excellent question. I think, you know, we know how to do a lot of things, but sometimes we don't stop to ask why. So why should I serve one another? Why should we serve one another? Well, let me give you a reason not to serve. And this is something Vance and I talked about. We don't serve to gain God's favor. That's not why we serve, to gain God's favor, because we already have it. If you stepped over the line of faith to follow Jesus Christ, if you've asked forgiveness for sins, you have been given God's favor. The Holy Spirit has come to reside inside of you and help guide you, help you to understand the Bible as you read it, and help to understand life as it comes at you. And you've got an eternal security in heaven, where you will go to heaven when you die. We have already been given God's favor. We don't serve to try to impress God. We don't serve God to make him love us more. We've already gained all the favor of God will ever get. So that's not the reason why. The main reason we serve out of gratitude for what he has already done for us. God has given us freedom in Christ, freedom from our sins, freedom from addictions, freedom to live as he created us to live. And we serve out of gratitude. We don't even serve to make ourselves feel better, although it does. But that's not the reason. We serve out of gratitude to Jesus for what he has done for us. That's the highest reason to serve. Matter of fact, every year when we have Servolution, we remind each other. By the way, if you don't know what Servolution is, just ask somebody else here in church. Or if you're listening online, ask your host, what is Servolution? It's coming in March. We do it every year. But we remind ourselves every year when we do Servolution, this is not to make our church look good. We don't put our church's name on the t-shirts that we have. We don't serve to try to gain God's favor because we already have God's favor. We serve out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. That's why we serve. That's why we serve others. But there's another reason that's in the text here where we look at that's interesting that we would often miss. But that's another, it's not the main reason, but it is a good reason to serve. You know another reason why we serve? Because when we serve, it keeps us from fighting each other. Because we will. We will fight one another if we're not careful. If we get focused on ourselves, we fight the culture, and then next we fight each other. As I said earlier, Christians in Galatia, they were drifting into legalism, which is just a form of rule following. And that turns your focus inward, and before long, all you care about is yourself. Have you ever seen pigs eating at a trough? Now you have. I want you to let that picture kind of sink in, okay? You don't want to be in the middle of that. They don't wash their hooves and snouts before they come to dinner. It's just a nasty proposition. They're pushing, shoving, snorting, swallowing every bit of food they can get with no concern for the other pigs, okay? You know what? That's what we look like when we get focused on ourselves. That's what we look like. That's good. That's what we, it's just kind of fun to leave that up for a while, isn't it? That's what we look like when we're concerned about our rights and our inconveniences and what we want at church for ourselves and what we want at church for our kids and our grandkids. That's what we look like if we're not careful, if we turn inward. We just look selfish to people on the outside. We can't afford to look like that because we've got this great news about Jesus that people need to hear about it, and they can hear about it better if they see us serving one another rather than fighting one another. Listen, Paul said to the Galatian churches, You are called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That's what indulging the flesh looks like to outsiders in the 21st century America. Look back in your Bibles to verse 14. Verse 14, Paul goes on after he says, serve one another humbly in love. He says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. If you've ever seen hunting dogs are just beautiful animals. When they are on a hunt, when they are focused on the hunt and they're chasing prey, they work together. They are smooth, they are in tandem, and they are giving a great example of teamwork. But when hunting dogs sit around for a while without having a hunt to go on, they start fighting each other, they start snapping at each other and barking and clawing at each other, and it's not a pretty picture. Again, that's what a lot of the church in America looked like over the past year when we forgot that we were still on mission with God. Yeah, maybe we couldn't meet together like we used to, but we're still on mission for God. We're still showing the light of the world, Jesus, to people who don't know him. We are still coming in contact with people who don't know Jesus. And we have the opportunity to tell them about that. But when we get so consumed with ourselves and everything we're missing out on, we forget about our mission. We need a reset to this one another way of Jesus. And serving one another will pull us together like few things can. So if we know the reason why, out of gratitude for God and also to keep us from fighting, how? How do we serve one another? Well, the Apostle Paul gave us two descriptors of how to serve. One of them was humbly. Serve one another humbly. To be humble, we talked about this before in the past. To be humble is not to think less of yourself. It doesn't mean you put yourself down and think, oh, I'm just a worm. No, that's not what humble is. It's not to think less of yourself. It's just to think about yourself less. Just don't think about yourself all the time. Don't be so focused on yourself. That's what it means to be humble. It's one of BPS core values of having an outward focus. Think about yourself less. Think about all those pigs pushing, shoving, snorting, you know, scooping up all the food. What would be the opposite of that? What would be just the opposite? Well, the opposite of that would be like deferring to others, letting other people go first, letting our guests have the closest parking spaces up here, letting our guests have the coveted seats in the back, you know, where they can run in and run back out, you know, before they find out if we buy it or not, you know? That's thinking of others. That's being humble. Humble is helping someone else before you help yourself. It's considering how others feel about yourself. You know how you think about things. You know what your opinion is about everything. Stop and think about why other people think the way they think. Because we're a church of many different people from a lot of different backgrounds. We all think differently. We vote differently. We're different, and yet we're together in Jesus Christ. Being humble is considering and thinking why other people think the way they think. It's listening instead of talking. It's listening with the intent to understand rather than waiting to where you can get back in the conversation and be understood. Then nobody's listening. We have to lead the way in that. It's paying attention to other people's needs, other people's concerns, other people's hurts. That's what being others focused. That's what serving one another does for you. So we serve one another humbly. And then he says, in love. Remember when the Bible, we talked about this during Love Handles message series about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 back in February. We talked about the love that's often referred to in the Bible is this agape love. That's the Greek word for agape love. There are a lot of different words for love, but this was this unconditional, unselfish love that's others focused. Let me just remind you, keep your place in Galatians. Let me just read you, refresh your memory about what love looks like, what real love. 1 Corinthians 13, I've used it in weddings for some of you that I've done your weddings, and many of you have heard this read at weddings because it really does. It does fit for marriage. But the context, this was written to churches to show them how to love each other. This is what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others or be rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight with evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's what love is. So you want to serve others humbly in love? Just go down the list. Just look at each word in that list and see what that looks like when you serve others. You serve others patiently. You're just patient. You serve others kindly. You serve people who have more than you do without envying what they have. You serve without telling anyone what you did or how well you did it. Thank you. You don't shame people or get angry when they don't serve the same way you serve or serve as well as you serve. You serve folks, this is hard, but you serve folks who have hurt you. Man, nothing shows the light of God's love like Christians getting over themselves and serving those who have hurt them. You serve one another by protecting them, by trusting them, by thinking the best of them. Think about thinking the best of others. If we, as Christians, would always try to assume the best in others when we don't know what's really going on or when we see something that alarms us. If we assume the best in others, that's one way that we can love one another. And sometimes people are off the rails, but most of the time, we just misunderstand. We serve people by trusting them, by believing in them. And we don't stop serving when we get tired, because we all get tired. It's tiring to serve next door with kids. It's also very rewarding, and it helps them know the love of Jesus. But we don't quit just because we're tired. Now look back in Galatians 5:14. Paul said, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. You know what that means? The entire law is fulfilled? When he says the entire law, when a Jew is talking about the law, they're talking about the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There's hundreds of commands in there, and they're saying the intent of every one of those laws and rules and commands, every one of those is fulfilled. It's met when you love one another and you love your neighbor as yourself. Think about it. You wouldn't steal from somebody that you love. That wouldn't be loving. You wouldn't be unfaithful to your spouse because that wouldn't be loving. You wouldn't look at porn all night because you know that's objectifying women or men, and it's objectifying, and it's often many of those people are being trafficked in slavery and human trafficking. You wouldn't ghost somebody who's been trying to get in touch with you just because they irritate you, because that wouldn't be loving. Loving. Love one another. That's what it means to love. The whole law, the purpose of every command in the Bible is given when we love one another. If you still have your Bible open in Galatians, I want you to flip over to the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 10. After the Apostle Paul gives a lot of examples of what this looks like, gives examples, verses 19 to 21, of what fleshly desires are, he comes back around to this idea about the one another part within the church. Galatians 6:10, he says, therefore, in summary, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That's love your neighbors, yourself, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That's Jesus' last command, love one another. Why is it so important for us to love each other inside the church, even more so than we love folks outside the church? That seems selfish, doesn't it? There's a reason for it. Why? Because it helps people see what they're missing. When people outside the church, when those of you who are, you would consider yourself outside of Christianity right now, let me just tell you, you can see all of our bad sides. We get it wrong a lot. But when we, folks, when we get our eyes on Jesus, beautiful things happen. And we shine. We shine the light of God's love. I hope you'll see that. Let me show you what it looks like. Let me show you, church, what you look like when you're loving one another. This week, we had high school camp here. We decided when we had to make the decision in January not to send our kids to Florida, our high school students to Florida. And we had camp here this week. They called it the best week ever. And this auditorium right here, this was all week long. This was a worship center. It was a concert hall. It was a game show studio. And it was a big dance floor on Wednesday night. And the kids had a great time. Do you know what made it so great? You know why it went so well? Because countless numbers of adults, lots of college students and other adults, many of whom who took vacation from their jobs this week to serve one another, came and served these students all week. They came up here and everything was ready. The games were ready. The food was ready. Small group leaders were ready to talk to them. That's love. And you know what? We see that love every week here next door, where people serve in preschool, in children, and in preteen ministries. And often those people serving in preschool are older children. And they serve, and they keep serving. Even when they get tired, they persevere. Love perseveres. That's what it looks like. We see that when people next door serve kids with special needs, so their parents who are tired, who don't have many opportunities for other people they can trust to watch their kids can come in here and worship with you. That's inside the walls. We see that service outside the walls when our point guards, those are men who go and serve our widows, get together on Saturday mornings and then go out and take care and do fix-it jobs in their homes. We see that serve one another when people get out, the people wearing orange shirts get out there in the parking lot in the heat and help direct traffic so you can get in and find a space quickly and get off the highway. We see that over and over again. We see it when you share food with one another. I've seen groups of people get together and cook a meal for a wedding reception with hundreds of people because they wanted to help that bride and groom kind of stretch their budget further because it's expensive to get married. I've seen folks bring food to someone's house when they lost someone that they loved and all their family was coming in. They just brought lots of food, more than they could eat, so they didn't have to worry about preparing food. I've seen them bring food to people's homes when they had a baby so mom and dad can focus on the baby and not have to worry about cooking. As a matter of fact, I have a 3-week-old granddaughter now, the first girl. Pickerings don't make girls, but I got one now, Madeline Haley Pickering. I'm so proud of that little girl. I will not be here next week. I'll be with her next week. So anyway, I've seen people take food and do all kinds of things for us. That's serving one another. We have a group of folks here who recently created a ministry called Caring Well. And that Caring Well is to help men and women who've been abused in a relationship, whether it's emotionally, physically, sexually. And if you need that ministry, I would just encourage you, call our church office between 8 and 4:30, Monday through Thursday, and just ask for Michelle. And Michelle will connect you with someone who knows what you've been through and will help you walk through the healing of that and help you in whatever way you need help. That's serving one another. I've seen you sit silently in someone's living room after they lost a husband or a wife and just not say anything, just be there. Your presence is powerful. I've seen you cut one another's grass. I've seen you mud out one another's homes after a flood, after multiple floods. I've seen people in this church give their cars, instead of trading it in, give their car to a single mom who just needed a break and help them. I've seen you give your Astros tickets to people who couldn't afford a game and something that so many of you take for granted, you know, give them and bless them with that. I've even seen one family take a friend who had offended them to a soccer game. That would be me. They got taken to the game. My family has been on the receiving end of that serve one another so many times. When our boys were growing up, when we first started this church, my oldest son, Michael, he was learning to play the guitar. And he wanted to play in a band that was playing for our children's ministry. We called them All Stars back then, and he was in the band. And one of the guys in our band up here, he saw that Michael was trying to learn to play the guitar, and he gave him an electric guitar and an amp so that he could play. He said, that'll be a better sound in there with the children than your acoustic. And just served him and loved him. Same thing happened with our son, Jeff. Jeff, he wanted to be the next Steven Spielberg, so he started making all these crazy videos with his junior high buddies. But he was making some for our children's ministry and some for our student ministry. And two men in our church who did a lot of the video work here, they took him under his wings and showed him how to make videos and how to edit them and how to film better. And one of them gave him an Apple computer so that he could make better videos. We've been blessed so many times by people serving one another. A couple of years ago when I had brain surgery and I thought it was just going to be a short little, you know, procedure and I'd be watching the Astros that night eating Blue Bell. And some ladies came and sat with my wife through 4.5 hours of not knowing what was going to happen, what kind of shape I was going to be when I came out of that. Would I have a stroke? Would I be blind? And they just sat with my wife. And then when we came home, I was a lot weaker than I realized that I would be. And I couldn't cut the grass. And people cut our grass for us. People brought food to our house. And we received that one another love. Folks, I've watched it. And there's so many more examples. That's who we are when we're at our best. That's when we take our eyes off of ourselves and on others, when we love others. Listen, you would be surprised. You would be surprised how many folks that you know well who live next door to you, maybe your family, maybe your neighbors, maybe the people you work with, students you sit next to in class and work on projects together, know almost nothing about Jesus, not to even mention how much he loves them. They don't know. We are the Jesus people. They're supposed to see Jesus through us, but they can't see Jesus if we look like, act like, think like, talk like, and fight like everyone else. That's why we have to go back and get a reset to the one another way of Jesus from time to time, to keep us focused not on ourselves, but to focus on others. What if? What if instead of worrying about our own pleasures and worrying about what we want and getting what pleases us, what if most of the time we were concerned about others and what others around us need and what others around us feel and how they care and how they hurt, and we focused on meeting their needs, on serving them, both inside the church and outside? What if that's the only thing that people outside the church saw? They would then begin to see Jesus. They would then begin to see what they're missing. And that's the point of what we do. We want to bring glory to God and build the kingdom of God, bring more people into the kingdom of God. Listen, let's not be afraid to own our countercultural, nonconformist ways. Let's get out of step with the world. Let's get in step with Jesus in the one another way, and let's serve one another so others can see Jesus in us. They can, they will. A new command I give you, Jesus said, love one another. As I have loved you, that's the model, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. They'll see Jesus in us if you love one another. Let's live at our highest level, our best and highest. Let's love one another. Let's forgive one another. Let's honor one another. Let's bear with one another, and let's serve one another. Let's pray. God, thank you for doing so much for us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for us. Thank you for giving us our sins, even when you didn't have to. Thank you for honoring us. Thank you for bearing with us, because none of us get it right all the time. Thank you for serving us. Help us to serve each other so that we can also serve others. God, let us be the Jesus people. Let the people that we interact with this week who don't know you, let them see you in us. Show us how to love one another and serve one another. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.